Well, good evening. I got to get way up here like this because it's down. All right. Find a hymnal. Turn over to number 343. And let's all stand together. Revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah,
tonight. How many are here tonight? You're all here tonight. All right, good. Good to see everyone that's here. How many here tonight are tired? All right. How many here tonight are glad you're here tonight? All right, good. All right, good. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for your goodness to us. Thankful for the time that we could be gathered together in your house with your people. Lord, I do pray that you'd bless our time together. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good evening, everyone. These are supposed to go to Pastor on Sunday. But we'll put them into the prayer tonight. So, I was at work the other day and going through just some low time at work. It was kind of quiet. And all of a sudden, the Wednesday night prayer came up. And there I am taking up. I just say it like this. Don't ever watch yourself on video because it's like, oh, my Lord. Do I really sound like that? But I guess I do. With that said, I'm going to try to speak more clear because I am being recorded. I will try to speak more clearly. So what I have is, this one's from Miss Cheryl, and it's for Francis Young back in the hospital. So anything else that you might want to just add to that? Okay. So she is on the prayer list, and we'll just continue to pray for Miss Francis. And then, Jessica, you have one for Liz, who's on the prayer list. Health issues and pain, but after surgery, she's still struggling from that. And then the Brinkley family to Scotland, wife coming home. This is one of our missionaries, correct? So the wife is coming home to tend to her parents, moving into a nursing home. So
they're not one of our missionaries, they're friends of ours, missionaries, but her daughter is on here that has MS.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So we have those to pray for. And then looking at the list, we have some praises. Michelle, the chemo is for her lung has stopped the growth. So that's an answer to prayer. We petition the Lord to answer these prayers, and he's doing well. Certainly, if we don't pray and ask for it, then he doesn't know what our heart's desires are. So when we bring it to the Lord in prayer, Brother Dave. Is it my, oh, sorry. I'm doing my glasses too. Gotcha. So, yeah. So continue to play for Miss Liz for physical needs. And then Jesse's son, the kidney transplant. Do we have any updates on that, of how things are going with that procedure? Amen. See, there's a praise. That's a good thing. And we'll continue to pray that the Lord just puts his hand right there and take care of all those issues. Amen. All right. And then the missionary of the week, we go to the inside if you have your, is the Kern family to the Netherlands. Again, how did you like that presentation that they put out for us? Was that like, it's just to see the heart of the missionary and what the Lord has put on their heart to be able to go to these places, travel around the world, leave behind family and friends, but to do the work of the Lord. It's just amazing. And for them to share their heart, just it's an excitement because we're a part of that, just a small part in what we put in our Faith Promise mission. To be able to support these people as they're going out, it's a blessing. So continue to pray for them. Actually, what it says for spiritual growth of the church and the visitors in the Netherlands, and then leadership to serve in the church. And certainly that's what a missionary's job is to get into a place and touch the heart of someone who's in that field, and then they're able to reach their people. So that's what really a missionary job is, to just transform someone in the area that they can be closer to their people. And certainly, you know, we are able to reach people close to us, but then there's always others that just get raised up and are able to do a work that we can't do. So just continue to pray for all of our missionaries. And with that, I will take up if anybody has any other requests that we haven't hit here. Brother Joe, how are you doing? Yeah. Amen. It's good to see you in your place. When the seats are empty, it's like, all right, where are they at? Get back in here. But it's good to have you back in your place. And then Judy and Kevin made it home safe. They're just probably recuperating from the travel, but they are home. And appreciate everyone's prayers as they traveled. Seems like they had a great time. So wishing they could be here tonight, but probably just tired from all the traveling. So just continue to pray for them that they're in their place. And with that, let's split up and go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen. Well, it's interesting. Brother Ed says, watching yourself on video. When I had a my very first song leader I had to do song leading. He was 63 when he started song leading. And I didn't have the heart to really tell him that it was bad. And I said, here, let me. So I put up this camcorder, like this old, you know, like one is a tripod, this big old machine. And I recorded. I said, well, just go and watch your, you know, watch the video. And he went, and week after week, I said, did you watch the video? He said, yeah, I watched the video. Like, oh. Anyway, so. Well, I think maybe he watched a little bit and said, nope, click, stop. Sometimes watching ourselves do the things we think are fine, we could find out sometimes. Imagine somebody else is watching us walk through our life. Right? Wow. Glad we don't have to watch all that on replay. Oh. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure if there's all this technology, the Lord could have. Anyway, let's not stress about that now. Amen. Let's get through today. So, Proverbs chapter 8 tonight. We're kind of leaving the voice of wisdom a little bit, but we're still, as long as we're in Proverbs, we're not going to leave wisdom. It's the book of wisdom. So it's the whole series is passing on wisdom. And so Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, my goal is to cover all the book of Proverbs within, I found out it takes about 4 years. So now I got a goal I've got. I think he said 4.5 years maybe. So anyhow, I've got a whole list of all the verses I've used and what's left, and so we're going to see what I can do. So Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His ways, before His works of old." Okay, so I want to, you're like, what does that mean? We're going to get to that in a minute. I just want to have a verse to start reading so we can get into this. So throughout Proverbs, wisdom, as we've looked at, has called upon men to do what? To hear her instruction is a big part of it. She warns of danger, promised blessings, and offered direction, all these kind of things. Now, in this passage, I want us to see how wisdom explains why. Why her words should be trusted. So we're going to kind of look at tonight. Why should wisdom be trusted? Okay? If you're going to say, give a chance. No, I don't want to do that. I sometimes want to give people a chance to ask, and then when they answer it all wrong, I'm like, oh, I wish I wouldn't ask that. So I want you to think about that for a minute. Why should wisdom be trusted? Now we're going to look into this and see. Point number one. Wisdom is rooted in the nature of God. Good try, though, brother. I appreciate it. That would have been a good one. Wisdom is rooted in the nature of God. Look again, verse 22. The Lord possessed me. Who's the me? Wisdom. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Okay? So, A, wisdom existed before creation. Thank you. Wisdom existed before creation. No candy. One of these days, I'm going to get some Tootsie Rolls, and then I can just throw out Tootsie Rolls. Remember, Brother Jet did that. And so I should do Tootsie Rolls, or M&M's. That's what he kept calling it. That's what his wife kept calling M&M's. Anyway, chocolate. Verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. Okay, listen. Number one, before is that word. Number one, that's the blank, right?
Yep.
Right. Okay. Y'all looked at some of you looked at me like, okay, that's not the blank. That is, it's sorry, but that's what I want to emphasize is that sometimes the blank is often what I want to, you know, before the earth, the depths, the mountains, and the hills, wisdom already was. Before all the other creation, wisdom was already there. Okay, B. Wisdom was not something God acquired. God didn't get wisdom. You understand? Now, who gets wisdom? We get wisdom. Wisdom is something that we get. It's not something that God acquired. It says there in verse 22, the Lord possessed me. Right? The Lord possessed me in the beginning. And so, number one, I kind of give it away a little bit. The passage speaks figuratively of wisdom being possessed and brought forth. So, it's figuratively. It's this picture of wisdom being possessed. It's a possession of God. Right? So, which brings us to be under that. Wisdom is an attribute. Sorry. Yeah, I thought maybe you'd get that. The A-N, I thought maybe it would lead. So wisdom, so it's a little bit weird. It's a little bit weird because we're like, okay, God got this. He possesses it. So how do we kind of picture this in a sense? Wisdom is an attribute. So when God possesses it, He possesses this as one of His attributes, just like holiness, right? It's an attribute of God. And so, by the way, so what that means is that God didn't get it. It is Him. Okay, C, capital C there. God A was belongs. Did I miss that? Oh, I missed it. But the larger point is that wisdom belongs to God Himself. So, yeah, I knew there's a lot of chatter out there, but we need somebody to raise a hand up. But yeah, the larger point, so back there, the passage speaks figuratively of wisdom being possessed and brought forth. But the larger point in that verse is that wisdom belongs to God Himself. It is His attribute. I was excited to get to attribute. Okay, that's why some of you are like, missed that. I was one behind. Okay, capital C. God created because He already. Is that what you said? Oh, somebody said, already possessed perfect wisdom. So, okay, God created because He already possessed perfect wisdom. Okay? So number one under that, God did not learn as He worked. Okay, this wasn't something we learn as we work, right? This isn't something as God was going along, He was learning something. I mean, you'd have thought He'd learned something from making us. Right? That's a bad joke. That's not even a good joke. Sorry. I was trying to say how imperfect we are, but it kind of came out like degrading God. So I didn't forget that. Can we take that off the record? Mark that from the record. Okay, A. He did not improve His understanding. Okay, God did not learn. He did not prove His understanding. B. Everything God made came from His perfect wisdom. I mean, it's there, but I should have made that a blank. Everything that God made came from His perfect wisdom. Does that make sense to us? We're following this? What we're getting at here? God, wisdom was already there. Wisdom was already there. Wisdom was there in the process of making it. Okay? God made it out of that. So number two. Let's get to the next part. Point number two. Wisdom is revealed in the works of God. In the works of God. Okay, let's look at verse 27. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment. Isn't that pretty awesome? That's it. You're done. Why don't the water just keep going? Because He said so. That's what it says there. Why doesn't the water just keep covering the earth? Why doesn't it just keep rising? Well, because it spreads. No, come on. No, it doesn't make, it really doesn't math out. It doesn't always physics out. I mean, it doesn't always work. It says because God said it. Anyway, that's cool to me. Okay, consider verse 29. When he appointed the fountains of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Man, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Wisdom was present. Very good. Thank you. Wisdom was present throughout creation. See, John had a bag of candy over there. So anyway, good. Okay. Wisdom was present throughout creation. Wisdom was there. He's not always there. So I said he. She. Let's give the she's, right? It was a she. Anyway. She said, when I was there. I was by him. I was with him. I was him. You know, we was there. I was there, right? That's kind of what wisdom is saying. That's the thing. Number one, the repeated word when in this thing, when that happened, demonstrate that God's wisdom was at work throughout creation. This is what we're getting here. Remember we started, what was the question? Why? Why should we trust wisdom? Okay? B, creation displays the wisdom of God. Okay? This is what creation does. Creation displays the wisdom of God. Let me continue on. Number one, the heavens, clouds, seas, and earth were not formed randomly. They were not formed randomly. Okay. Bob Ross, right? You know, I think we should put a little tree right here. Let's put it. I think a tree should go there, right? How about we put a little cloud, right? Let's put a bird. Yeah, he's just, as he's going on, he's like, what should we do here? That ain't how God did this. God didn't, as he's going along, figure something. Everything that he created wasn't created randomly. Number two, everything was established according to divine order and purpose. And purpose. Everything God did. Now, I want you to grab this. I want you to grab this, folks, because this is going to matter in a minute when we wrap this up. When we kind of try to tie a bow on this, I want you to get this thing. Everything that God created was established according to divine order, his way, his path, his direction, and it was on purpose. Well, why did God let that happen? There is a why. Amen? There is a why. Do we always know the why? Ask Job. Or his friends. Amen. We don't always know the why. The why doesn't always get to us. And sometimes it's tough not to get. Is it okay to ask that? I think it's okay to ask God why. You know, sometimes God does kind of give us a little bit of insight maybe. And sometimes he just says, because. If I explained it to you, it wouldn't help. You ever had somebody like that? You try to tell you tell them something, and they're like, I don't understand. And it's like, well, just trust me. And you say, you know, I don't really know when. So sometimes I've had, like, specialists or people that come in, they do with HVAC. And when the HVAC guy came in here, I said, well, why can't we just do this? Why can't we just put more vents in and do all this? He said, well, this doesn't work like that. I'm like, why? And he starts, like, getting all, like, mathy and physics and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, well, because of this and the pressure and all this. And I'm like, yeah. But can't you just do that? You know what I mean? Can't you just do that? He's, you know, It's almost like, and he did the same thing at my house. I did learn some things, but it's almost like they want to say, can you, I don't have, it's a, I had to go through school to learn this, like I'm going to teach you in an afternoon. But sometimes, even if you explained it, you know, you ever seen your kids look at you like, or adults, what was that? Yeah. Or adults, you'll tell them and they'll look at you like, adults will do this more than kids. I don't know if kids do it too. They'll come, after you explain it all to them, they'll come back and say the same thing they said before you start explaining it. You're like, am I just wasting my breath? Like, am I just, but this is, listen, folks, this is the thing. And I want this to be very well established for us. That everything that God did, all of creation, was established according to His divine order. And it was on purpose. And so, it takes us to see. Wisdom was the... It's a bit too long since we read that. Delight. Wisdom was the delight of God in creation. Look again at verse 30. Then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight. There's such an interesting personification of wisdom throughout Proverbs. I find it interesting. This it's almost like you get back like who's he talking about? You know what I mean? If you just jump in somewhere, who's this? See, if you're not real familiar with this, even if you are real familiar with it, you go back and like, who is this? And you keep going back and you're like, how far do I have to go back? Like to one, right? And this is the she is constantly, and I was, and there's this serious person of it. It's such a thing that it's as God is trying to help us grasp the seriousness of wisdom. Can you imagine if God's Son had came to this earth, which He did, and His apostles are like, yeah, He's pretty great, and I think He's going to do some stuff, and I think this is amazing and all this, but they were still kind of struggling with that whole thing. And God said one day, you know what we're going to do? Why don't you come on up here on this mountain, and we're just going to transfigure and let you see something that's so amazing. And God the Father speaks from heaven. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. And they're like, we should build altars here. Right? And all of a sudden they're like, it's good we're here. They're just like, you know, God's trying to say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what he was trying to do? He said, listen. You know what he's trying to say? Listen to him. Listen to him. And I kind of get this here, in a sense, about wisdom. This isn't just some, this book of Proverbs isn't just some good ideas. It isn't just how to stay out of trouble. Man, I've told you this before going through Proverbs, but you know there's some moms, and I've said this before, but that their greatest goal in life is that their son wouldn't go to prison. Man, I just hope he stays out of prison. Wow. That's setting the bar pretty low. But you don't know what that mom's went through. Right? I think probably at one time that was probably my mom's. Hope he just stays out of prison. You know what I'm saying? I thought about that at times, and when I was the chaplain in our county jail, I'd go through and I'd think every person I talked to has a mom and dad somewhere, mom and a grandma somewhere, that never thought this would happen to them. There's a little boy, little girl, too, and never thought that's what would happen to them. And when they were trying to impart some truth to them, some advice, some instruction. And, you know, I just kind of get this sense of this personification. It just hits me this way. That God's trying to say, this is, get it. How important is this wisdom that God's given? Listen, what we're seeing here in this is something, I think it's something real important in this verse right here, that God was delighted with this wisdom. Okay, let me read that again, verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. So what wisdom produces is pleasing to God. Is that fair to say from that verse? You following that? What wisdom produces is fair. It's pleasing to God. And it does this. It causes delight and rejoicing is what we find here. I don't think it's important to get too caught up in the confusion of this personification of wisdom in this poetic book. I don't want us to get so caught up it becomes confusing. But rather to catch the point that's trying to be articulated here. What is trying to be given to us? Now notice verse 31. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Okay, number one. The passage seems to climax with wisdom rejoicing in the habitable world and delighting in the sons of men. Okay, that seems to be we're getting up here to this point, and there's delight and there's rejoicing, and here's the place. God was fully pleased with what his wisdom created. Do you remember that? Read about that in the book of Genesis? And it was, yeah. And it was, yeah, right? That's right. That's what when God was created, you see, I don't even know if he thought. He said, just be there. I don't know how it worked. His ways are way higher than mine. And all of a sudden, he was there, and he's like, that's good. Imagine God, when he created the world, he created, like, all the flying creatures, right? And when he made the earth come up out of the water, that's good. Right? I mean, I don't know what that was like. I don't know if God was like, oh, that's pretty cool, or if he's like, it's good. I don't know. I can't get too much person of God, but I'll tell you, God was fully pleased with what his own wisdom created. Creation was not God trying things until they worked. This wasn't God saying, you know what, let's try this animal. You know, there's a lot of animals that look like they were practiced. You know what I mean? There's a lot of animals, you look at them like that, that was a trial. And, you know, some fish, they swim sideways and only have one eye. And that eye faces down. You're like, that was an accident. No, God... You think about some, you ever see, I mean, you have seen a turkey vulture. They're cute. No one ever looked at one and said they're cute. I've seen them sticking their head deep into an armadillo's carcass. I don't want to be nowhere near that, right? But man, what a blessing that they can eat that garbage, clean it up, and it's gone. By the time it's done, this thing just rots into it, and it's clean. We don't have to be disease ridden from that thing. Nothing is on accident. It's all on purpose. It's all on purpose, except for the mosquitoes. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. We don't always know the whys, but there is something there. Okay. Listen, it was not God solving problems as they appeared. You get that? God didn't say, oh man, now that we did, that's how I work sometimes. Right, you do some. Oh, this is going to fit. You fix one thing, and you find out the problem that created. And they're like, okay, it's like kind of working on this water. We're like, okay, we do that. And then it's like, okay, now we got to dig it. Brother Ed and I, the first year we're out here digging a hole with our feet, trying to get the water to, you know, and we did, and it was kind of cool. You know, you just start, we're like finding problems as it's going along, right? That's how we work. That's not how God works. God doesn't solve problems as they come up, putting out fires, we'd say. That's not what God does. It was not God imposing order with uncertainty. Number two, the wisdom that ordered creation has mankind in view. See, let me read verse 31 again. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Number three, Roman numeral three. Wisdom calls for the response of man. Ah, man, it was all good. It was all informative until here, wasn't it? Don't you like being informed of stuff better than requirements? I don't mind when the city comes by and says, hey, there's this new thing we're going to be doing. Okay? Go for it. And it's going to cost you more money. I don't like that part. I like the part you're doing something. I don't really care. I mean, somewhat. As long as it doesn't cause problems. And then they say, oh, yeah, and we're going to actually increase the price with that. Ah, man, it was all fine until I have to do something with it, right? So, by the way, the book of Proverbs here, this passage, they're not just for us to know stuff. Listen, Solomon isn't passing on wisdom so his son can be just a smart guy. When Solomon was asking God for wisdom, remember that? Wisdom for what? No. Yes, to judge the people. God, I can't do this. I need, God, would you give me the wisdom to judge your people? Not just to have it. God, I just want to be the smartest guy on the planet. No, I want to have the wisdom to judge your people. God said, because you wanted that. Because you wanted that. I'm going to make you the smartest guy that's ever lived. Now, he didn't always do well with it. We know the rest of the story. But we find some things here. Wisdom is not meant to just know. It's meant to respond. Look at verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Okay, so wisdom calls men to hear her instruction. Wisdom calls men to hear. And by the way, wisdom calls women to hear as well. Okay. Number one, because wisdom is rooted in God's nature and displayed in God's works, her words deserve attention. Okay. Because wisdom is rooted in God's nature, And because wisdom is displayed in God's works, her words deserve our attention. Amen? Ah. B, wisdom promises life to those who find her. Look at verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Number one, those who receive wisdom find life and obtain favor from the Lord. Y'all getting this? Y'all staying? We're coming in a flow here. We've got to grab each piece as it goes on. And I'm not going to trap you at the end, but the net is being cast. Okay. So, those who receive wisdom obtain favor. By the way, don't just receive it, but hear it, live it. Y'all got this? Whoever gets wisdom finds life. Are we talking about eternal life here? No, this isn't talking about eternal life. Matter of fact, eternal life really isn't, for the most part, isn't in view in the book of Proverbs. It's not really what's being... There's some places maybe it alludes to that, but it's some places where it talks about death, you know, some of this. But for the most part, when it's talking about life, it's talking about... He's telling his son how to live here. So the person that finds wisdom finds the life that's on purpose. And finds favor of the Lord. Do you want to find favor of the Lord? Oh, man. Well, I don't really care. Yes, you do. You don't have it, you wish you had it. Matter of fact, when we don't have it, we seek it. And we may not know we're seeking the favor of the Lord, but we're seeking some answers. And we're, you know, when we cry out for somebody for answers, you know we're crying out to the wall. No, we're crying out to God. We're seeking His favor. Yeah, but we want God to do something for us. So he that finds wisdom is going to find God's favor. Okay, A, under that. The same wisdom that is his delight in creation is the wisdom that is instructing us. Okay, that didn't excite you as much as it excited me when I came across this understanding. Okay. Okay, so the wisdom that put this whole thing in motion, created it from ex nihilo, creation ex nihilo, which means creation from nothing. God took, there wasn't even air. Wasn't even air. God had to put air for there to be air. There was nothing. And God created all of this from that. And God said, it's my wisdom that created all that. My wisdom created all this stuff. Everything. That same wisdom is who's giving you instruction right now. No. I'm being directed by the same wisdom that created everything. That's what he's saying here. How awesome is that? Man. Okay, maybe I was thinking to you later, because y'all not as excited as me. That's okay. I'm maybe more excitable when I'm preaching it. But when I was reading, when I was realizing this, I'm like, wow, what an exciting thing. So see, but wisdom also warns those who reject her, ignores good, but reject her. Verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Wow. So then, number one, to reject wisdom is to wrong one's own soul. This thing of wronging your soul, it's a weird phraseology here. Sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. It's kind of you're going to wrong your own soul. It's kind of just a weird kind of phrase. And so sometimes when you're going from Hebrew to English, and then it's poetic Hebrew to English, it can get, the words can be a little bit strange. But I want to say this about it. This is so much more than just causing yourself grief. It's more than just causing some hurt to your life. If you don't listen to God, it's going to cause you trouble. Man, it's so much more than that. It's so much to sin against the instruction of wisdom is to live contrary to how God designed this world and you to live. This is the thing. God created this world, everything on purpose. Everything with divine order. Everything, listen, every mountain, every hill, every valley, every fish, every mosquito, right? The buzzards, the giraffes. I mean, everything is just crazy. There's this animal, I can't think of the name of it. it is like a freaky animal. It's just like nothing can eat it. It's got such hard skin, and nothing can eat it. I mean, like there's these animals that come up try to bite, can't bite through its skin. I can't remember what its name was. Somebody maybe know, but it's I like watching some National Geographic. It's kind of interesting. And this thing, he just goes up and a honey badger. I think it's a honey badger. It goes in and just digs its nose into places that, and just eats the stuff. And animals are trying to bite it and they can't. And just think, what a weird animal. You know, and some of these things, nothing is on accident. So, when, you know, the whole plants produce the stuff that we need to breathe. And when we breathe that stuff in and we use up the stuff that we like and we exhale the stuff we can't live off of, the plants live off that. So weird. What a chemistry experiment. Except for God did it on purpose. You know, God didn't just know it would work like that. He made it work like that from His wisdom. So when we, listen to me, folks, don't miss this. When we choose to say, I'm not going to do it like that. I know the Bible says that. I know that's the way Christians do, but I don't think everything's as important as everybody takes it to be. And when we kind of start to, as we would find here, as he says, when we sin against wisdom, he that sinneth against me, that's sinneth against wisdom, is to say when God says, here is the truth, and we say, no. I don't care what you say, God. I'm going to treat people the way I want to treat them. That love your neighbor is for my neighbor. Right? I want my neighbor to love me, but I don't want to have to, you know. These things about sacrifice, the things about surrender. You know, if I surrender, what's going to be left of me? Man, a better you. A better life that you live in. And this is when wisdom's saying, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. It's so much more. It's so much more than just you're going to hurt yourself. God designed this world. He designed you. And he designed the way for you to live and for me. But further, it's to sin against wisdom is to expect life to work apart from wisdom. No, that's what it is. Say, well, it says, no, I don't have to do it that way. I'm going to make it work my way. How's that working out? Yeah. Well, I'm really good at the things I'm really good at. In other words, the things of wisdom that I've received, I'm good at living those out. But there's probably a lot of stuff that I'm just oblivious to. What more could God give us to explain this to us? Number two, ultimately, they who refuse God's wisdom have chosen to hate God's plan. I know it sounds extreme, but these aren't my words. These are his. Rejecting wisdom is to embrace the very things wisdom was given to save us from. A, that direction goes against God's wisdom, and it loves death. So he says, you love death. You love living in this world separated from God. You love the torment, the trouble, the death that comes with it. B, what an arrogant rejection of God. So here's our conclusion. Number one, wisdom is not merely offering advice. We don't see wisdom just offering some advice. Wisdom speaks with the authority of the God whose wisdom ordered creation itself. The same wisdom that established the heavens and set the boundaries of the sea now calls upon men to hear, learn, and obey. Number two, the question is whether we will listen and respond. Look, you can ignore advice that I give you and survive. Right? Not my kids. But others can. No, they can too. You can ignore my advice and survive. But you cannot continue to live against God's wisdom without consequences. Because God's wisdom is woven into the very fabric of life itself. Listen, hear, and respond to His wisdom. Amen? Father, I do pray that You would help us, Lord, with Your Word and Your truth. And Lord, You've been so gracious to us. Lord, You've given us so much greater than we can even comprehend. Your wisdom that created the universe is the very same wisdom that instructs us. Lord, we are so privileged of a creation. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to, or maybe tonight, that we would answer the question of why should we trust wisdom? Because she was there all along in the creation process. And Lord, I pray that You would bless now, Lord, help us with Your truth, that we would respond to it. We'll give You thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.